Last week, actually, we raised the issue regarding the fact that Rav Chaim Volozhin, the famous son that he has, is of course Rav Yitzchok of Volozhin. He was the one that succeeded him, and as a matter of fact, many of his chidushim were also actually added into the swarm of Rav Chaim Volozhin. We have an Aneshev Chaim, you have what's called Hagor, you have various Hagoris, addendums, and additions to the thoughts and the concepts advanced by Rav Chaim Volozhin. Also in Sefer Ruach Chaim, from place to place, we find from time to time, we find the actual couple of lines, or sometimes more than that, a paragraph or two, from Rav Yitzchok of Volozhin. But we also mentioned that there was also a second son who was a brother of Rav Yitzchok of Volozhin, a son of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and very little is known about him. And it was pointed out that there is a certain historian that sort of had revealed the mystery, and that is because Rav Yitzchok of Volozhin became a chassid. And maybe Rav Chaim Volozhin is not so proud of it at that particular time. That was not the going, that was not the trend, certainly in the literature world. And therefore, it's been suggested that maybe that's why not too much is known about Rabbi Yosef of Volozhin. But then subsequently, we also pointed out that there was a scholarly article written by a Yid by Reb Lezer Katzman in a publication called Yeshurin, which is a very scholarly periodical, Torah periodical. And he did further research on it and said he was almost right, he says, but it was not the son of Reb Chaim Volozhin who became a chassid, it was an einikel by the name of Reb Leo. And he goes down clearly to bring down all the points and the references of how he was able to arrive at that point, that the einikel, the grandson of Reb Chaim Volozhin, in fact, was in Skaf to Chassidus, and to the Chassidus of Reb Mordechai of Alechvish. Mordechai is one of the fiery Rebbes, who particularly, more than anything, was noted for his lahavas and his blend, the way that he used to daven. And that was the Mordechai of Lechvish, the great tzaddikim of the generation. And he became a chosid of Lechvish. We were slonim as a big shaykhis to the shayrish of Lechvish, and Kalin, Stalin, and all those. So it's kedai, very interesting to mention. It was a Yid by Choshev Yid. His name was the Shtickel Rebbe himself. His name was Rabbi Menachem Nochem Rabinowitz, Zechon Levrocha. His son actually heard from him, from his father, Rabbi Menachem Nochem, that he came to Reb Chaim Brisker to receive smicha. So here we have a Hasidish Ingeman. Again, the son is staying there, but his father. His father no longer alive. His father's name again was Menachem Nochem Rabinowitz. Rabinowitz, right away, you know. Yeah, Rabinowitz, that's Rabbi Sheinikel. So I'll call upon him, so from the Yidah Kodesh and so on. Psishche, that Chassidus, that Shaychus. So I'll call upon him, so he comes to Reb Chaim Brisker to receive Smicha. So he meets Reb Chaim Brisker at the time that he was sitting at a certain meeting with a number of many, many different Rabbonim over there. So Reb Chaim was Mekabel upon him, as Reb Chaim always would be. He was Mekabel everybody, he was saved upon him, Yofis, very comfortably, like we're Be'ahava. So this young man comes in, and he asks him, what are you here for? So he says, I want to take a Bechina, in order to receive smicha from you. And Reb Chaim asked him, well, did you receive smicha? Do you have any other smicha from anybody before? That's many times you come to ask smicha from an Odom Godel. He's more comfortable if you already took smicha from somebody else, so he doesn't carry the full achrayas by himself. It's a very common situation. So Reb Chaim asked him, do you already have smicha from anybody else? So he says, yes, he already has. He asked smicha from others as well. So Reb Chaim said, maybe you can show me something. So he goes to this Menachem Nochem, goes and takes out one of the smichas, one of the Gedolei Rabbanim. Reb Chaim looks at it, and somebody says, it's a very cold smicha. It's like, it's not a warm smicha. So this Reb Menachem Nochem was a Hasidish Ingeman. Said, I'll tell you why it's cold. Because the Rebbe gave it to me, he's a misnagid, he's against Hasidus. And I'm a Hasidish Ingeman. So I gave him smicha, but you know, he didn't write it warmly. So Reb Chaim says, well, if that's the case, because he went to a misnagid, then what am I? Reb Chaim, then now you're coming to me, Reb Chaim Brisker. And Reb Menachem Nochem, this elder son says he heard from his father, because this has to be very reliable. So Reb Menachem Nochem, the Ingeman, the Chassidic Ingeman, said to Reb Chaim, what do you mean? Reb Chaim, I know you're a half a chosid. And Reb Chaim says, how do you know that? From where do you take this that I'm a half a chosid? I'm not a total misnagid. So he says to him, I'll tell you a posik, and that should basically should remind you of what I'm talking about. And he quoted a posik, V'hu oimed aleim. Avraham Avinu, as you know, when he was being mishamish the malachim, he didn't realize the malachim, and it said, V'hu oimed aleim, tachas reitz v'yuchelu. The posik, V'hu oimed aleim, he says, that should, I know you're half a chosid. And Reb Chaim really understood right away what he was talking about, and he says to him, "Do you know the whole Maisa?" He asked the Shingaman, Reb Nachum Nochem. He says, "Yeah, I know the Maisa." So he said, "Well, if you know the Maisa, so now we're sitting here where by many Rabbonim, tell them the story the way that you know it. Why are you accusing me of being a half a chosid? What's the story?" So this is the way again, the son of Reb Nachum Nochem said, this is what he heard from his father, who was the Ingaman asking Smicha from Reb Chaim. The father of Chaim Choy was Rabbi Yoshe Beres Soloveitchik, the Beis Halevi. Everybody knows that. So, the Shver of Rabbi Yoshe Ber happened to be, believe it or not, a Chosid of Rabbi Moshe of Kabrin. The Shver of the Beis Halevi happened to be a Chosid of Rabbi Moshe of Kabrin. Rabbi Moshe of Kabrin is Kedai Take, just to mention. He was a tremendous, tremendous Balmoifis. He was one of the great rabbis. By the way, also Talmud of Rabbi Mordechai of Lechavish. We mentioned before that Rabbi Yehuda, the Einikel of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, became a Chosid of Rabbi Mordechai of Lechavish. Lamaisa Moshe Kabrin was also a Talmud of Rabbi Mordechai of Lechavish. And later on, when Mordechai passed away and Mordechai's son Reb Noach passed away, he sort of became like the Rebbe for all the Hasidim that came to him. Basically, what he stood out for outstanding was tremendous anivis that he had. Also, his godless betorah and tremendous avos Yisrael. Tremendous avos Yisrael he had. To the point that he used to say, he says, "The truth is, I'm not a Rebbe. People should not be coming to me." But he said, you know why people are coming to me? Because one thing I can say for myself, Chabinishka Rebbe, because Baruch Hu knows I have tremendous Ahavas Yisrael. I love to be among Jews, but I don't have the koyach enough to keep running around to every Yid. Because Baruch Hu made the Yidin come to me. Yeah. I have Ahavas Yisrael. The Baruch Hu recognizes that. That I can say about myself. And the Rebbe says, I would like to be together with many Yid as possible, but how much koyach rabbi can I run around all over the place? So Hashem made it easier, and he didn't come to me. Do you think I'm a Rebbe? Because Baruch Hu planted in their mind, Chinga Rebbe, so they come to me. But Rebbe Nishka Rebbe, he said. And the Lamaise, he's saying that he was a very great man. And it's Kedai Take to mention that the Rishoner, I mean, the great Rishoner Rebbe, once mentioned, we met that Reb Moshe Kabrina, we said, was a Talmud also of the Reb Mordechai of Lechavish. The Rishon used to say that Reb Mordechai of Lechavish is the Mani Gador. He called him the Mani Gador. And Reb Moshe Kabrin said about the Lechavisher, he used to say, Malachim Misrafim lo hikiru oiso. He was so great that even Malachim did not recognize him. And we'll appreciate that. We'll see a little bit of the Ruach Haim today. We'll see the relationship between people and Malachim. That as great as Malachim are, so Reb Moshe of Kabrin said, my Rebbe, Reb Mordechai of Lechavish, even Malachim were not aware to the mastic, the greatness, he said, he said, my Rebbe, Reb Mordechai of Lechavish. It's interesting is that Rabbi Zevin, you know, we're a lot of storms, we're quite familiar with him. So he mentioned a place, he says that when Reb Moshe of Kabrin, again, he was again the Rebbe of the Beis Halevi Shver. Again, the Beis Halevi Shver was a Mekurev to Reb Moshe of Kabrin. So again, Moshe of Kabrin basically was Nifl in the mid-1800s, just to have an idea of time frame where he was. All right. So at the Tish, a particular Tish, there was a young man at the Tish, and after the Tish, he asks some of the Chassidim, "Who's this young man? Who's this young man?" So the Mishamish said, "This is his name." And the Moshkimi says, "I don't know who he is." So the Shamish said, "What do you mean you don't know? He's the son of so and so. He's the son of so and so. Who's a Chosid of yours? The Rebbe's a Chosid. Yeah, sure, you know who he is." And the Shamish said, "I don't know." So again, they gave him more simonim, you know, to be able to recognize who he is. So finally he says, Tringaman, and he said, Tringaman, "You know why I don't recognize you?" he says, "because the," and I should mention really Chassam Sofer to that, and he's saying the same thing, but he's applied it. Chassam Sofer says the big difference between an inanimate object, a lifeless object, into a person. The makom of a chefetz, right? Where's the makom of a chefetz? Where you put it? Somebody wants to know where the table is. Well, the table is right here where it stands. You want to know where the sitter is? Well, the sitter's on the table, so the makom of the sitter is on the table. The makom of a person, says the Chassam Sofer, Parshas Vayishlach, is not where he is. The makom of a person where he wants to be is the machshav of the person that defines where he is. Because the body of the person is only a shell. It's the brain of a person that determines the mahus ha'odom. And therefore, if the physical person happens to be over here, but your mind is someplace else, then you're not really over here. You are where your mind is. Just to give you an example, which maybe you could drive it home, or you know, can imagine that in a number of years, it's not impossible. But you can imagine there'll come a time where, you know, they have the advancement of medical technology, and they'll be able to transplant, put Reuven's brain into Shimon's body. Who is he? They trampled Reuven's brain to Shimon's body. Is the person Shimon or is he Reuven? Well, it's not Shimon, because as far as Shimon's concerned, there's nothing there. There's no life experience at all. There's nothing. It's the brain of Reuven. It's in the shell of Shimon. So the essence of Adam, you put a brain into a robot, right? So who is he? He's whatever the brain is. The robot is whatever the brain is. So if the brain of the machshava of the person, that defines where he is. And I mentioned this past Sunday for Rockaway, they gave it to Rosh Hashanah Lawrence actually. So I mentioned, I mean, the Chassam Sofer mentioned to a point that we shouldn't even take so much advantage of that. Chassam Sofer says a tremendous, tremendous Chiddush. We know there's a Zgula Riches Yomim. So mentioned the Torah. What's the Zgula Riches Yomim? Al Hadomo. Living in Eretz Yisrael is a Zgula Riches Yomim. Living in Israel, that the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Ches, that Rabbi Yochanan and Tamar, Rabbi Yochanan was even surprised that there's old people in Bavel. Ikisabe be Bavel. The Torah says Al Adomo. Riches Yom is Al Adomo, and he gives the Teres. Some Sefer says another word. He says even if you're living in Chutz Laaretz, but if your mind is connected to Eretz Yisrael, you'd like to be in Eretz Yisrael, you'd hope to be in Eretz Yisrael. Halvai sooner, then you are in Eretz Yisrael. So even when we live in Chutz Laaretz, but if your mind is connected to Eretz Yisrael, you are in Eretz Yisrael, and you have this gula of Arichas Yom as if you are in Eretz Yisrael. It's half of a fellow. The machshava of the person, that defines the mokim of the person. So if you can be living in Chutz Laaretz, but in machshava, if your mind is connected to Eretz Yisrael, that's where you want to be. It's as if you are in Eretz Yisrael and you have this gula of Arichas Yom. Anyway, going back to Moshe Kabriner, so he said to the Chos, you know why I didn't recognize you? Because your mind was not at the tissue, was someplace else. You're not here, so actually you're not here. The essence of the person whose mind is. So you're not here, your mind was someplace else. You might as well say, I didn't recognize you. The body, that's not you. The essence of a person is his mind. Your mind was someplace else, he said. Your mind is over here, then I don't know where you are, that's you. So this is just to give you a little idea of what we're talking about. So going back to the Maise, this was shit, I guess we got off track, just to give you a little bit of history here. Look upon him, so going back here to the Zingerman, Rabbi Rabinowitz, Nachum Nochem Rabinowitz, who told Reb Chaim when he was a young man, he said to Reb Chaim, but you're not afraid of, he said, because you're half a chosid. Reb Chaim said, how do you know I'm half a chosid? So he gave him a remez, he said, remember the posik on Aleim, Reb Chaim knew right away. He says, you know the story behind it? So yeah, so tell the Yoram here the story behind it. So the story goes like this. The Shver of Rabbi Yashaber Soloveitchik, which was the father of Reb Chaim, so the Shver was the Zayd of Reb Chaim. The Shver of Rabbi Yashaber was the grandfather of Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim was a young child. He became very sick. Mamish Skonis Nefoshes. Okay, this is Reb Chaim Brisk himself. He was a young child, Skonis Nefoshes. And at that time, he says, who happens to come to town? Comes to town is Moshe LeKabriner. That's what he gave his whole akdama who he was. The Moshe of Kabrina comes to town, comes to Brisk. He comes to Brisk, and he comes to visit, exactly, I must just say Brisk. He comes to the house of his grandfather, who is the Shver, again, of Rabbi Yashaber Soloveitchik, of the Beis Halevi, to the Shver of Beis Halevi. So Moshe, he's the Balach Sanya. Okay, so Chaim's grandfather was the Balach Sanya of Rabbi Moshe of Kabrina. So as he comes in, so right away, Rabbi Chaim's grandfather says, Rabbi, I have a growling sorrow in the house. You can imagine, Rabbi, it's a tremendous sorrow. He says, my einikel Chaimke, my einikel, my grandchild Chaimke, says, in the tzara gedoyle, mamish, the doctors have given up on him. So the Rabbi says, okay, so let's go be mevakeh choyle. Let's go take a look at the little boy. Let's go talk to Chaim. So they both go into the room, and Rabbi Moshe Kabrina says the following. In Parashas Vayera, listen what he said. In Parashas Vayera, when the Malachim came to visit Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu feeds them, he gives them to eat. Avraham Avinu gives them to eat. The pasuk says, "Vuhu oimed aleihem." Oimed means he is standing. It's loshen hoivik, continuously standing. And the first mentioned said, "Vuhu omed aleihem," that he was standing over them. What's the loshen? "Vuhu oimed aleihem." Should have said, "Vuhu omad." So Rabbi Moshe Kabrina, you know what the pshat is? The pshat is that whenever a yid is machnes oirech, that's the adopting the middle of Rom Avinu. Listen what he said, what the Rebbe said. Whenever a yid is mekayim machnos asorchem, he's going in the derech of Rom Avinu, his oirech of Rom Avinu comes and he stands next to him too. So it's not omad v'hu oimed. Whenever Avraham Avinu sees that there's a yid doing the same thing, Avraham Avinu is standing there. Oimed is loshen hoive. Until this Amashiach. It's not something in the past. Whenever a yid is a machnes oirech, Avraham Avinu stands there. Just like you stood by the malachim, you do the same thing. Avraham Avinu stands by your side. That's why it says, well, if Avraham Avinu is there, So the Rebbe knew a little bit of Gemara also. And the Rebbe quotes a Gemara with the Gemara symbol of the Basri. You can look it up, Daf Tezayin. Among the many Maras of Rav Avinu, I don't know if you knew this one. The Maras of Rav Avinu had a Margolis Toiva. He had sort of a chain around his neck with a Margolis, a very precious stone. But that was not some precious stone. The Gemara says, Chol Choyle Horoya Oysa Misrape. Any Choyle who looked at that particular Margolis Toiva, it had a Gemaldi Gizgula, was Misrape, was healed. So the Rebbe said, now, he says, Terezede, you took me into the house, you're my Balach Sanye. Guess what? Avraham Avinu is here, and Amir, he's bringing along that medal of Rafua, he's bringing along that thing that he has around his neck over here, and Amir, I can tell you, sure, Avraham Avinu is here, he's going to bring the Rafua Shalem and Kachave. That's what he told Reb Chaim, that was a Maise. And see, so it's a Rebbe, Chassidish Rebbe, that healed you. So this is half a chosid you are, I said. Kabbalah, how the chosid is there? That was the situation. So this again, the son of Reb Nachum Nochum, who is the younger man himself, the son himself, he wrote it, and it's in a sefer called Machsheves Nochum. He wrote about his father's experiences. The son, his name is Reb Noach Rabinowitz, and he wrote clearly this, as he heard from his father who was there, B'shas Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim confirmed that was the Maaseh that happened. So Reb Chaim had Rafu Shalema Zchus of Reb Moshe of Kabrina. So that's very interesting. All right. Later. Good. So we can go now to Ruach Chaim. Ruach Chaim, we are in Daf Tezayin in your edition. We went to the lower paragraph. Oyd Yeshloimer. Oyd from Daf Tezayin. Okay, Oyd Yeshloimer, the bottom paragraph. The idea again, Reb Chaim tries to say also another pshat. Remember, Reb Chaim raised the question originally, although in the beginning, you know, the Shinu Haloshin, the Torah switches from an L, it says Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinai, Moshe received the Torah. It doesn't say Yeshua Kibel Moshe. Then it switches, Moshe Umasara Yeshua. Well, Reb Chaim asks Reb Chaim, it should be consistent. Either Kodesh Baruch Hu was Moshe to Moshe, and Moshe was Moshe to Yeshua. Messiah should be mentioned twice, or maybe Kabbalah twice. Moshe kibbutz Torah Mesinai, the Yeshua kibbutz Moshe. But why is the switch? Moshe, it says, was Mekabel, right? Moshe was Mekabel, receives. And on the other hand, Moshe transmits. Why the Losh of Messiah by Moshe? Why not the same thing Kabbalah? Yeshua is Mekabel from Moshe. So he suggests another pshat. Oy Yeshleimer. So Moshe Omar, Moshe Kibbel Torah. Moshe himself, it says, was Mekabel the Torah, Messinai. Umesorah, but on the other hand, he gave it over, he transmitted it to Yeshua. Yishtanis, we find the change, the switching, Melosh and Kabbalah, he says, Lemesiri. Why is the reason? Why is the switching of the Lashonis? Yodoyer. The Reb Chaim says, we can explain it, says Reb Chaim. Al Pi Mash Omru Chazal. Zigmar Chum Dam Tzadikal from the base. The Pasuk in Iyev. So first we'll say the simple translation of the words in Iyev, and then we'll see how Chazal read into that Pasuk. The Pasuk says the following. Beron Yachad, Ron, Rina means to say Shira, Rina means to sing. The word Rina means to sing. Beron, Solution Rina. Beron Yachad Koyve Boiker. When the morning stars, right, when the morning stars sing, right? So it says, so the Pasuk it says, later on it says, Vayariu Kobanei Elohim. Then all the heavenly beings also sound off. In other words, when the morning stars sing, Beron Yachad Koch VeBoicher, when the morning stars, the Koch VeBoicher, when the morning stars sing, after that the heavenly beings also sound off. Vayariu. The Gemara says, who are the morning stars? That's the Jewish people. Rashi says over there, clearly, Masechtas Chulin. Why? Because he saw Nimshul Kechovim. We have it many, many times, right? The Klal Yisrael is compared to Kechovim. Says the Gemara, Baron Yachad Koich Veboiker. The Koich Veboiker who sing, first is mentioned who sings, the morning stars. The Jewish people sing first. Says the Gemara, She'ein Malach HaShores Oimrim Shira. The Malachim do not say Shira, Ad She'oimrim Yisrael Tchilo. So the Malachim, with all the gavlas, with all the greatness, they have to stand and wait in line. They have no rishus. They're not able to say Shira to Kodesh Baruch. They cannot sing until the Jewish people down here. We have, right, the Din Kedima, we stand in line first. Not only we have the option to do it first, if we don't do it, they can't do it. They have to wait until we do it. In other words, Bron Yachad Koich VeBoiker. When the Koich VeBoiker have sung, then by Yariyu B'nei, right, Elohim. Then the Bnei Elohim, which means the Malachim. Then the Malachim. The Malachim who say Kodesh, 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 Hashem, Tzavokos, they can't just get up and say it. They have to wait until we are Mekadeshim Shemayim. right? Makdishach, right? We have Makadosh Shem Shemayim, or we say our Shira first. When we say our Shira first, then the Malachim can say it. Which means that we are on a higher level than Malachim, which is a concept which is mentioned in a number of places. So here we'll see a little bit about it again. And he goes on to say further. So we started out with the Gemara Chum Daf Tzadik Aleph again, that the Gemara says that first the Koich V'Boiker sing first. The Koich V'Boiker are the Jewish people. Then the Yidden, Klal Yisrael, because they are the Kerchovim. They are Nimshul to Kerchovim. Then the Malochim can say Shira. They have to wait after us, for us. Now, Vinim Medrash. The Medrash also says, Isa, on the pasuk, remember Yaakovino's dream, he sees the ladder. Now, of course, he sees the ladder starting from the ground. Vine Yisula Mutzavarso, where the ladder is stationed on the ground. Veroisha, in the other end, is Magia Hashemoimo. So, comes down the Medrash, and says, Vine Yisula Mutzavarso, Dos Sinai. This is referring to Sinai. That's Yaakovino's dream, he sees Har Sinai. Where do you get that from? So Chazal say, Azvan Dedain Kedain, Rotzeloime Shavin Bechejin, the same gematria. Sulam Chosar, take away the Vav of Sulam. Sulam can be written Moli with a Vav, and Sulam can be written without a Vav. So the word Sulam, without a Vav, the gematria is Sinai. Right? Sulam without a Vav, the Samach is 60, the Lamed is 30, is 90, right? And then you have again, it's 130. So you have Sinai. So I say that also is the gematria is 130. So Sulam is gematria Sinai. So Yaakovinu Sulam Musavarzo, what is he dreaming of? They're showing him the vision, they're showing him Har Sinai, showing him the future, they're showing him Har Sinai. So I want to tell you something, Gaga Borche. See, when you open up a Balaturim on the Posik Vine Sulam Musavarzo, Balaturim Taki says Sulam the gematria Sinai. He brings it. It's really this Chazal, it's really a Medrash. But then he says, that's Sulam, that's Chosar. Sulam without a Vav is Gematria Sinai. But Sulam Mole, Sulam with a Vav, another six, if you had a Vav, another six, is Gematria Momen. Money. Far cry, the two Gematrias, same with Sulam. Sulam can either be Gematria Momen, which is money, the opposite of what Sinai stands for. And then the same word Sulam is the Gematria Sinai. So Gadol once said, this is the message is as follows. Sinai is Ruchnius, obviously. When it comes to Ruchnius, Sulam is Chosar. When it comes to Ruchnius, you always have to feel you're lacking, you're missing. No matter how much you learn, no matter how much you daven, no matter how much tzedakah you do, no matter how much chesed, Sinai is the gematria Sulam Chosar. You have to feel Chosar. You're never fulfilled. Sulam Mole b'gematria Momen. Momen should feel Mole. You have enough already. When it comes to Momen, you should feel Mole. Enough already. Sulam Mole is Momen. When it comes to Momen, the concept is you have to feel you have enough. When it comes to Ruchnius, it's never enough. So the Chosar Gematria is Sinai. Because when it comes to Sinai, when it comes to Ruchnius, a person should always feel Chosar. When it comes to Momen, the Gematria is the Mole they get Gematria. Because when it comes to Momen, a person should have the attitude Mole. I have already enough. Mistapik, it's enough. So okay, fine. So let's go further. Vinei Sulam Mutzavotso. Again, so Dos Sinai, the word Sulam, that is the gematria, the same gematria Sinai, it's 130, because Azvon the Dain, Azvon is Oisius in Lashon Arami. Azvon the Dain, the Oisius of one, is Kedadain, it's like the other. So he explains it, Rotzalem, what he means is, Shavin Bechejman. It's not the same letters physically, but the gematria is the same, Shavin Bechejman. Vine, Chazal Bo Lelamdenu. Chazal come to teach us. A person imagines and he says to himself, L'bal nachshav, we should not think lowly of ourselves. A person of, obviously, his neshama is, for lack of a better word, but that's the truth. The neshama is really imprisoned in a physical body. If the neshama had a choice, it would never come down to this world. The neshama is a shemayim basking in the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no greater tiny, as we learned the opening Mamish paragraph of the Ramchal, many times mentioned, but when we learned the Ramchal Mesilas Yesharim, there's nothing in this world that can even come close to be able to describe it. If you want to give it like a mushel, I would add my own mushel. Someone who never tasted wine, it's mentioned Sfarim, by the way, there's no way you can explain what wine tastes like. Somebody can taste, how do you explain taste? There's no way you can explain taste. Unless he tastes something else that's similar to wine, maybe you could say it tastes very much, but he has to taste. He already has a foundation. Somebody never drank coffee. There's no way to explain what it is. There's no way to explain what oil and haba is. We have no idea. Based upon the physical concepts of what we understand, what pleasure is, has no shaykhis whatsoever b'chalal, what Olam Haba is. No shaykhis whatever. So a person says to himself, but I, my neshama is now come down to this world, and it's imprisoned, right? It's taken captive in this physical body, and the physical body, basically that's the animal side of the person. The body is the animal side of the person. He has all the physical desires, right, that the animal world has. It's the same thing. That's what the Tanya refers to. That's one side is called the Nefesh HaBahamis. That's the natural human instinct. Right? So Mamela, so a person said to him, look how lowly I am. Look at my desires. I have lowly typhus like Shaysik Davoid is to overcome that. But Mr. Echad, a person sometimes falls into a matzav of a despair. And he said, so says Reb Chaim, Chazal want to teach us, no, don't underestimate your cheshivus. Chazal want to teach you, don't underestimate your cheshivus. Lebal nachshoiv. A person should not think. A person knows that what? That he is malubish. His neshama is malubish in the material, in physical. Right? My neshama is surrounded with the physical. Im kein onu nivzim. So maybe we are in a mavuzah the gematzes. We're no different descent than the animal world. Right? So Mamelim Kenonu Nivzim Boha Emes truthfully kechime ukitit chutzais. Right, we're made out of mud, offer adomo. So Mamelim, we are lowly beings, who are we? Loze Omr Ksal Chazal come to tell us no. And Chazal come to say deze einoi. Because why? Because what defines us is not our goof. Our goof again, like you mentioned before, is just a shell. What we are is the pnimius, it's our neshama. That's what we are. So if a person, let's say, a billionaire, just for martial argument's sake, he's a billionaire, and he puts on a coat that's $50, does that mean now he's a pauper? Does that mean now he's an Onish Ibanim? Just because his lavush happens to be a $50 jacket? The embassy is a billionaire. What's behind what he's wearing? The beggar is just a lavush. The beggar does not define who's behind the beggar who's wearing the beggar. The goof is a lavush. The goof is no more than a beggar. And a male, what defines a person is not the beggar. It's what he is. Who is the person wearing the beged? So Mamele says the goof is not what defines us as a person. The ikar chiyu seinu, what is our ikar chiyu? Minish maseinu. Right? The Hashemos, and we have the holy name that is attached to a yid. All this is mishmei moroim that comes from the high, from the high heavens. And he says, the yesh nishomos yire elakim. There are neshamas of those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shehem gevoyim hagbe lamala yosem imalachei shores, much greater than malachim. So do not think ever of a lowly person you are. Recognize that the ability of the human being is to rise even higher than a malach, not just to be a great human being. If you are a great human being, you're even greater than a malach. That's the point. When you are a great human being, not just that you're a great human being. If you are an Odom HaSholem, or close to perfection, nobody's perfect, but upon him when you're able to rise, and the male to overcome, and the male you live like your neshama wants you to live. In other words, who's in control? The emotion we always give is, you know, when you see two people in the car, right? And you want to know basically who is in control, well, you say to yourself, well, who's in the driver's seat? The person in the driver's seat, and then somebody's in the passenger, you know the person who's on the passenger side, he's not in control. Whose control is the person who's in the driver's seat. I want to ask a question. Who's in control? Your neshama? Or is your goof in control? Well, the question, who's in the driver's seat? Is the neshama driving you, and the goof is just the passenger? Or the opposite side? Is the goof that's in the driver's seat, and the neshama goes along as a passenger? That is what you have to determine. Got it? Okay, so who is in the driver's seat? The avodah is Adam to recognize the neshama should be in the driver's seat, and the goof goes along as a passenger. If you think about that a little deeper, so that's the idea. If the neshama is in the driver's seat, then you realize that even higher, he says, than Malachi Ashoris. The Da, I want you to know. And they say something, it's a very lofty concept. And maybe you should hear it for the first time, but this idea. And he points out, he says like this. He says, because Baruch Hu has worlds, lower worlds, all the worlds are high up. But he has, mommy, there's millions of Olamos. Literally, no end. Worlds and worlds and different worlds, all kinds of different worlds. Spiritual worlds we're talking about. Shemayim, spiritual worlds. And each world, so to speak, is higher above the other one. Now, relatively speaking, the lower world is the body of the upper world. above it. Now, the world above it is on a higher level. So the world above it is the neshama. The world below it is the guf. Okay? So now, so the world above it is the neshama. But that world that's above has another world above it. So the neshama, so the world that's a neshama to the lower guf is the body to the higher neshama. To the, so this is, this keeps going. Every world is a neshama to the lower, but it's also a guf to the higher. And that's what keeps going. So he points out the following. Veda, ki kol ha'olam ha'ishem ba'adroga ze'ach ha'zeh. There are madregas, right? There are levels, one after the other. Olam tachas olam. V'chol olam in each world, hu ke'ei neshama l'tachta memenu. Because whatever is higher is neshama, whatever is lower is guf. So when you have worlds, one above the other, whatever is higher is the neshama, whatever is lower is the guf. But then there's another world that's even higher. So that world that's even higher is the neshama to the world below it. That's how it goes. So every world plays two roles. It's a neshama to the lower, oilom, the gaba, the lower, and it's also the guf to the higher. Derech Moshel. He goes even by malochim. We say different categories of malochim. We say v'hoifanim v'chayis ha-kodesh, right? Barash Godoil. The malochim that are called oifanim. Certain category of malochim. There are malochim that are called chayis. So he says, so he says, derech moshel, guf la hachayis heim hoifanim. The different categories of malochim. The chayis, the malochim called chayis on a higher level than the malochim called oifanim. So the malochim called oifanim are the body of the malochim called chayis. And the malochim called chayis are the neshama. The malochim that are called chayis are the neshama. So it comes out that between two malochim, one is the neshama and one is the guf. That's the relationship between the two. The Moshul, guf la hachayis, what's the guf to the chayis? That's the oifanim. The heim and the chayis are neshama oifanim. The nishmas hachayis, where does the neshama of the chayis come from? That is, in other words, the chayis are neshama, as we said, to the oifanim below it. But the chayis have a neshama above it. The nishmas hachayis hu merikia shel gabei rishayim, from the heaven that's above it. Umisham, and going higher than that, nishmas bnei yodom hamaminim b'toyroh. In other words, those people who believe in Torah, so their neshamas are from the highest of the highest. Which we can see from the Lashon of Reb Chaim, which is a little bit of a frightening thing, that those Yidden that are kofer b'Torah, who deny Torah, unfortunately, they don't have the quality of the same neshama. They don't have this nishmas Yisrael. Again, Reb Chaim says, "Umisham nishmas bnei yodom hamaminim b'Torah." The neshamas of bnei yodom, the highest neshama that we're talking about, above the malochim, that's high, uppermost high, those are the neshamas of those people that believe in Torah. Those people who are craving b'Torah, it means that there's something lacking in the root of their neshama. And the truth is, the Rambam writes in the Igeres Taimon that he wrote to the Yemenite Jews who were going through a lot of trouble because, unfortunately, due to the sorrows that they suffered, so many of them converted. Many converted, became Muslims at that particular time of the Rambam. But they did it under duress. It's not that they wanted to do. But nevertheless, they were condemned by many. They say, listen, you should not have done that. You never convert for any reason. But listen, not everybody is able to be able to withstand all the various tests. So later when they wanted to do tshuva, so there were certain rabbonim that said, you can't do tshuva. The fact that you cut yourself off, once you converted, you cut yourself off, you can't come back. And the Rambam condemned it. Every person has the door open. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the door open. And even maybe you did wrong, certainly did wrong, that you should not have converted under duress, but rather you should be ready, a person is ready to be moisa nefesh when it comes. But they couldn't. But now that you seriously, if a person seriously, the emes has true charote, and wants to do tshuva, the door is open to no matter what type of avera that you have done. But the Rambam points out, and he says in that letter, Kadosh Baruch Hu is matiach, that whoever stood on Har Sinai will believe in the Vuas Moshe. He says, and if somebody does not believe in the Vuas Moshe, it's a big sophic, it's very doubtful whether he stood on Har Sinai going back and back. In any case, so the Nishom is b'nei yodom ha-maminim b'toyre, right, v'yesh l'mal olamal, and it goes higher and higher. But of course, we do not have rishus to delve into the uppermost high. These are the secrets of creation and beyond creation. Avol Shom, right? Over there, way up high, also is bainim b'melamalo malamata. It is awesome for us really to contemplate, you know, what's higher, what's lower, way up there. But I can just tell you one thing, he says. Imkain, the neshama of a person is higher than all the malochim. So it comes out the following. Imkain, nishmas b'nei yodom ha-maminim b'toyra, they are the neshama to the malochim. Imagine, the malach is considered to be a guf to the neshama of a yid. You know how lowly that is? Imagine, look, let's look within ourselves. The relationship between our guf to our neshama is a million miles of distance. The relationship between our guf, our body to our neshama, is a million miles of difference, of hevdel, right? Different mind. The malachim legabayid is like a guf to a neshama. Which means it's not just that a yid's neshama is just higher. He's so much higher that the malachim, as great as they are, spirits as they are all in the level of a guf. Legabayid the neshama of yid. It's just amazing. It's just amazing how great the neshama of yid is. If you think about it, the malachim are classified as a guf in relation to the neshama of yid. And let's look at ourselves. We know how far the guf is from a neshama. And if we label the malachim, we call them a guf, imagine how we drag them down. Is it only in the beginning of a guf, only in the level of a guf, compared to our neshama? Again, look at what Reb Chaim says there. It's an incredible thing. The godless Adam. I guess repeat it again. In kei nishmas b'nei yodam hamaminim b'toyre, heim neshama, they, right? The b'nei yodam, they become the neshama l'hachayis. And the chayis are the malachim called chayis. And the chayis, right, which are higher than the yoifanims, and the chayis are considered to be a neshama to the yoifanim. The chaylamat, and so it keeps going. Whatever is higher is the neshama to that which is lower. Atzoif oilumis. Vavron the yitzchok, he says. Lo yizochu lohoyer neshamas elu b'shlemus. Hear that? Avraham the Yitzchak, right? Who started to build, right, the Jewish people, but they yet did not bring down the highest neshamas that's possible. Even Avraham and Yitzchak did not bring down to this world the highest neshamas that's possible. Rak Yaakov Zocha, Yaakov who built the Yud Bei Shvatim, he built Klal Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu was Zoycha Lozeh, but Yabam is Mitosa Shalema. His mito, in other words, his bed, so to speak, Blosh Nekiah, was Shalema. Everything was on the highest level. Will be Yisrael Atzman, between Yid and itself. In other words, we're saying the chile between a Yid and a Malach, between Yid and itself, there's also Madregas, between one Yid and another. Will be Yisrael Atzman, yeh, shenishma, so echod, givoye, mechaveroi, which means that if you put two Yidin side by side, it's possible one Yid is a Nisham and the other is a Guf. Comparing one Yid to another, the difference would be so vast that one yid is a neshama to the other, so to speak, and this one is a guf to the other. So you see how it keeps going. There's the differences in terms of hierarchy, in terms of the greatness, and so on in Avodah Hashem, and so on. I think we're going to stop here for the moment, and because we want to look at something very interesting in the sheet. And this is what we're going to see. The item on the sheet over here has more to do with something that we discussed in Ruach Chaim last week, but it's such an important mimer over here, such a gewaltig important mimer, and we didn't have time really to do it last week. So it's kedai at least to hear it once, and this tremendous, tremendous insight that we have over here, which is the first item, let's give you a little bit of a zomer to remind you and that what that was all about. If you remember, Reb Chaim had a, and then we had the Hagoyis of Yisrael Volozhin as well, had, there was a tremendous interpretation of what is the Mishal Nalecho Mal Raglecho. Coming up very soon, Parashas Shmos, Rosh Rabbeinu stands by the burning bush. Kadosh Baruch Hu said this is Admas Kodesh, this is the holy ground. You can't wear shoes. Shal Nalecho, remove your shoes. You might remember that Reb Chaim said a number of times that the guf, which is housing the Shoma, is a na'al, is compared to a shoe. The guf is called na'al. The guf is called na'al because why? In the same way that the shoe is put on the foot, right? The guf is put over the neshama, but it's even more than that. The shoe is on the lower part of the leg. The neshama that we have is the lowest part of the neshama. The uppermost chelik of our neshama remains in Shemayim. I mentioned that. The shayus of our neshama is in Shemayim. So what came down here is the most lower part. Let's use the expression, we have the feet of our real neshama. The neshama that we have in our body is like the legs of our real neshama. The etzem, the body of our neshama is still in Shemayim. What we have down here are the legs. Well, if we have the legs and the guf is over the legs, it's the shoe. It's the shoe. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu reaches a madrega that his guf is not a steel, is not a contradiction to the neshama, but Moshe Rabbeinu elevates, purifies his guf, that his guf also becomes neshama-like. Shal Malecho, remove your guf. Not remove your shoe. The guf is the now. Moshe Rabbeinu is capable of reaching a madrega where his guf is neshama-like. Because he raised and he elevated the neshama to be in the bechin. That's Mishal Nalecho. Remove your guf. The guf is called now. That request cannot be made of just anyone. Remove your guf. see to elevate your guf, that your guf itself becomes family, neshama, one family together with your neshama. That's a Moshe Rabbeinu. Fine. So that was what we discussed now. So discussing now on the posuk Shalom Alechem Al Regelecho. So we see over here the item basically from the Sefer Ber Yosef, also brought down the Sefer Yalkut Lechatot Parshas Shmos. Okay, Ber Yosef is a wonderful Sefer. Ber Yosef Salant, who lived in Yerushalayim many years ago. He was a well-known Magid over there, and from time to time, the Chumashir, we bring it in Shabbos morning, we bring different aspects. For a while, we did not bring it, but throughout the years, we brought him a number of times. And I always have a big Hanor, because the ideas and the way it fits into the Pasuk, it's a very unique way, the Yosef Salant. So I'm reminded, I think maybe 10, 15 years ago, I'm walking down to the streets of Yerushalayim, and going to a Sforim store. It's not unusual for me to do that. And I see there's a yid in front of me, and he's collecting money from the guy behind the counter who's selling it to Marcus Farm. I understand he was the owner of the store. And they were like negotiating. Maybe he wasn't happy what he was given or whatever it was. And then he took whatever they gave him, and then he left. For some reason, it just piqued my interest, and I asked the Marcus Farm, I said, who's this yid? He says, he's a son of Rabbi Yosef Salant, who wrote the Ber Yosef. So I personally, I had such a no, I ran after that year. I don't know what I had in my pocket. I just gave whatever I had of it. But as a course, I tell you, because he was the son of it, and I got to talk to him about it. And he said, yeah, he was involved in printing his father's Sefer. So anyways, so here from the Sefer Ber Yosef. So we go here. Shalom Aleichem Al Reglechem. B'sidr Shah Shemayim. Okay, let's go begin the paragraph. Sidr Shah Shemayim, by the way, that is the name of the Sidr of the Shlach Kodesh. The Shlach Kodesh, the Siddur that he wrote, is called Shar Shemayim. So the Shlach Kodesh, you know, we're talking about in the 1500s, there is a Haskama that, after the Petir of the Shlach, then they printed the Shlach the first time, one of the Haskama they took is from the Bach, the great Bach, the father of the Taz. And the Bach writes there, he says, whoever davens from this Siddur, Muftachani she'ein tefilosoi chizeres reikum, his tefilos will be in his kabel. So I understood it doesn't mean that you write the regular davening. The Shlach Kodesh, a lot of perushim on the bottom there. Probably means this with all the kavanas of the Shlach Kodesh. Because the words in the Siddur is the same like any. You say davening from that Siddur. What's the difference that Siddur? You just get, but there's a lot of different perushim. The kavanas that the Shlach Kodesh puts into the tefillah. So if you daven from this Siddur, in other words, you mechavim the kavanas that the Shlach Kodesh advanced and promotes. Then he said the Bach says a kaponim. If you daven from this Siddur, Shara Shemayim Muftachani, I promise you that his tefillah has to be accepted. So says the Bach. So there's some Shashu many Pollock had the original printing of it. So it's very choshev. I took him to the house. I had everybody at least say one capital tilim from it. Who knows? Maybe it'll work. I should tell him. You know, say something. So everybody said a capital tilim from that, from the original print of the Sefer Siddur Shar Shemayim. Okay, of course, it has been reprinted. Now, okay, B'Siddur Shar Shemayim said the Shlos following. You know, in the Birchas Hashachar, we say a bracha. Right, we say Shosali Kol Tzarki. We thank Hashem among the other Pekei Achivrim. Right, Malbisharumim. Shosali Kol Tzarki. We thank Hashem for providing everything we need. Shosali Kol Tzarki. Now you know in Shulchan Aruch originally we don't do it today. Shulchan Aruch, you know, the Birchas Hashachar, we say them all at one time. In Shulchan Aruch, the way it used to be is, for example, when you got dressed, you said Malbisharumim. You got out of bed, you would say Zoykif Kifufim. Shosali Kol Tzarki. Right. Shosali Kol Tzarki, you say when you put on your shoes. That's why you may know or notice in some kinos where you have the davening on Tisha B'Av that you don't put on shoes. There are some on Tisha B'Av you don't wear shoes, I don't wear leather shoes, that you omit. You do not say the bracha of Shosli Kotsoki. They mean hogim to that. Why? Because the way it's mentioned, when you put on your shoes, you say Shosli Kotsoki. Okay? So says the Shlach Kodesh. He wants to understand what is the Shaykhis Osli Kotsoki have with wearing shoes. I mean, about the shoes is important, but does that really define Shosali Kol Tzarki? What about having a house, right? Is that a little more of having everything that I need? Having a pair of shoes is Takia Choshev Azach, but is that Kol Tzarki? Why when you put on your shoes more than anything else, you make the bracha, because bracha, you provided everything that I need. Really? Are the shoes everything that you need? So let's take a look. So the Shlach Kodesh, in a very profound way, and I say it again, very profound way, in a deep way. Look what the Shlach Kodesh says. The Shulchan says, "Brachas Rosh Hashli Katzaki Kad Messiah Misane." That means when you put on your shoes. That's the lashon. That's the Aramish. When you put on your shoes, right? But Tzarach L'Tentam. And we have to give a reason to Tam V'Das. B'Shaiches Nilas Manolim LeBrachas Ru. What the Shaiches of wearing shoes that you make the bracha Shalosli Katzaki? So the Shulchan says, "Kovalti Mimoyri Hagoyin Achosin Mashal." Here clearly the Shlokai says he was a Talmud of the Marshal. The Marshal, I want you to know, lived in the 1500s. He passed away in 1574. The Marshal, with Shlomo Luria. Marshal was the Rav, the Chief Rabbi of Lublin. Basically, we can say he was the Chief Rabbi of the world. He's the Rabban Shal Yisrael, the Rabban Shal Kol B'nei Agoilo. He was a relative of the Ramah, who was, of course, the Poisuk of all B'nei Ashkenaz, the Ramah. I just want you, and there is correspondence in the Shas Yeshuvas Ramah. There's correspondence between the Ramah to the Marshal. Just want to read you just enough, just read maybe two lines. The title that Ramah writes on the Marshal. And I want to let you know that the Ganser Marshal, right, when he was Nifter, he was only 64 years old. So all the Gavlas was way before. All the Gavlas that he had already was very young age already. Everything that he accomplished. When he left this world, he was only 64 years old, the Marshal. So, the Ramah writes the following. Listen to this. This is the Ramah writing. Ramah himself, the God Lador, the Ramah. He writes, "Ashrei Lador Shatushor B'Soichoi." Fortune is the generation. Fortune is the generation that you, he says. Fortune is the generation that you live there. He says, "Godel Kishamai Anvesin Kehilo." What he did. You know, Shammai and Hillel, right? There were two, right? There were two rivals, two protagonists. Shammai was considered to be, right? Hillel is the Onof. Shammai is considered to be the Godel. Because I'll say that the truth is Shammai was greater than Hillel. Why do we paskin like Hillel? Because Hillel had humility. Because Hillel had humility, had the mid of Anivis, so we paskin like Hillel, we don't paskin like Shammai. So the Ramah writes on the Mashal, you are like both. Godel ki Shammai v'am v'so ki Hillel. You're a combination of both. Remember what the Gemara said himself in Sukkot Dav Kof Ches? Omer Olof am Yoisim Mikusil. He said when Yoisim Ben Azil, when he learned, right, he learned with such Kedusha that, no, I'm reading for someplace else. I'm sorry. So when a bird flew over him, the bird, Mamish, was consumed. The Kedusha of the Torah of Yoisim Ben Azil. So that was a Tana. That was a Tana. So the Ramah writes on the Mashal, when you learn the Kedusha of Torah, a bird comes over, will burn like a crisp because of the Esha Torah that you have, he writes on him. Ra Loimer Amalosoi, he says, it's fitting to be said about you what they said on Rameir. What did they say about Rameir? Rameir was the greatest, yet we don't paskin like him. You know why? Because he was so deep, so sharp, they couldn't understand him. So there are more rights on the Mashal. The Roy will be fitting to say on you, they said, "Omer Golovi Yadul of Nakodish Bohu, She'aim Bedoyle Kamoisoi, Liboy Kalev Ari, Oiker Horim de Pilpuloi, Mamish uproot mountains with your people." And it goes on and on and on. Roy, listen, Machalov, Kemoisha Mepia Gvura. He writes the Mashal. You are reliable as Moshe Rabbeinu who brings down the Torah of Messina, he writes. Kemoshe Piagvura, he says, Baloisa Lahar Sina, he writes the words. It goes on and on. Anyway, just have an idea of the Gal Mashal. The Shlach Kodesh was the Talmud of the Mashal. Now, look what the Mashal said. Shenyan Hukifi, Shoma Dovra Melech, B'mayla Sodom. We were talking now, we were learning now, right, B'mayla Sodom. Well, today we learned Ruach HaChaim, what we learned is B'mayla Sodom, that his Neshom is greater than a Malach. That a malach legabe him is like a goof neged on the shoma. Incredible thing. So a man. So the Mashal points out, Dovra Melech talks about the godless Sodom, the greatness of man. How does Dovra Melech describe? In Tehillim, Capital Ches. What does Dovra Melech say? Chasreu ma'at melekim. Listen to Dovra Melech is writing. This is not just nice poetry. Man is just below. As if he's so godly, but chasreu ma'at melekim. He's just a little bit less. Hear that? Chasreu ma'at melekim. Half of the field of a melech saying, man is come out like he's like a rabbi nishloim. But chasreu ma'at melekim. The hainu tamshileu b'masir decho. Because Yehovah gave man right to rule over the world. Because Yehovah created the world. Tamshileu. Because Yehovah gave man dominion. He gave him the koyach hamoishul b'masir decho. Yehovah created the world. The handy, his handiwork. He created the world. Man, who's boss of the world? Who's king of the world? Not the animals. Man is the king of the world. The entire Bria is under the feet of man. Again, Koil Shato Tachas Raglo. The entire Bria is under the feet of man. Soyne Va'alofim Kulam. Sheep and cattle, all of it. Soyne Va'alofim means cattle. Soyne Va'alofim is like Shigaro Lofecho. Soyne Va'alofim Kulam. Everything is underneath. Okay, what does that mean? In what way, okay, now in a deeper way, in what way do we understand that man, right, has dominion over the world? So first we have to understand. And this is something where, you know, the great philosopher, the Khuzari, right, going back like 9 centuries ago, you know, who described, if you observe everything in the world, it has to belong in 1 of 4 categories. There's only 4 categories to describe everything that's created in this world. I repeat again. Anything in this world belongs in 1 of 4 categories. There's nothing going to be in a 5th category. The lowest, in the entire breed of creation, the lowest level was called doimim. Doimim means something that's totally lifeless. Rocks, stone, pebble, dirt, water. There's absolutely no vestige of life in it. Lifeless. Doimim means inanimate. Right? It's inanimate. Doimim. Doimim is the lowest level. What's the next level? The next level is sameach, something like plants. Has already a little bit of life. Plants, right? Plants are alive, but it's a low level of life. I mean, are they really alive? It's above doimim. So meach, things that grow are more alive than stones and then dirt and then water. That's semeach. Then comes chai, that's the animal world. They're more alive. The animal world, right? An animal is much more alive than a plant. Even though you say a plant is alive, an animal can walk, a plant can think, a plant eats, drinks, but an animal. And above that is called the medaber, is man. Above that is man. So anything in this world, you can pick any item, it belongs in 1 of the 4 categories. By the way, when you talk about the lowest level, doimim, which is lifeless items, you know what's included in that? It's not only stones and rocks. Diamonds also is on the lowest level. There's no life in it. To some point, Rabbi Yoel Lapian. Diamonds, jewels, pearls, that's the lowest level of creation. It's diamond. Lifeless. So I don't care what the world tributes, kind of value the world decides to attribute to it. It's diamond. The next level is Sameach. So it's Sameach again, Sameach, the vegetation, the world of plants is above. Now, the animals eat the plants. So obviously now the plants, therefore, are higher. The animals are therefore, right? The animals are above the world of vegetation, trees, plants, grass, everything like that. Right? The animals eat the grass. So they have dominion. The animals have dominion over the grass. And the grass, as we said, has dominion over the doimim. Man eats the animals. Man uses the animals to work. He eats from them. Right? So man, therefore, has dominion over all the lower 3 categories behind it. So man, therefore, is the highest level of the Bria, has dominion on all the 3 categories that are below him. Man is above the animal world. The animal world is above the world of plants. And the world of plants is above the doimim, the lifeless items in the world. The man is on top of it. So man, therefore, has dominion. He's above all the different categories. By the way, what did the Khuzari say? There's a 5th category in the world. The Jewish people. That's a 5th category. It's not some regular people. It's a totally, totally different item. That's something else. There's something Chamishi. There's a Geru Chamishi. Not to be maruch in that. Okay, so let's go further now. So let's go quickly here. Time is moving on. Mamish. So Hakavona, that's what we're up to. Hakavona. There are 4 levels from the lower. Right? Zulam Alam Azu. Aleph HaDoimim. Doimim are the lifeless. That's the lifeless part of creation. Has no life. Like we said, rocks, stones, pebbles, earth, dirt, all that. Water. Then we have a Tzemeach, that's the next level. Oilo all of the Yonik Memeno. By the way, the plants grow from the dirt, from the offer. So the plants really are above the offer. The offer is lifeless, but the plants, right, they are Yonik. They are Yonik from the... Then we have the Balachayim, Gimel. Oilo Mala Tzemeach, they are above the Tzemeach, they are above the plants. V'oichem, they eat the plants. So the Balachayim, the animals, are above the plants. And then we have Chayim Edaber. Then you have the living person who speaks. That's the Ogam HaMoshel B'Balachayim V'oichelom. Mishtamish ben v'oiler. So he's really on top. Zeh Shomar HaKosov. That's what the posting means. Kol Shato Tachas Raglov. Why? Because what does it say after that? Soyne V'alofim Kulam. If man has dominion over the animals, so man has dominion of everything else. Because the animals have dominion over the plants. The plants have dominion over the offer. So therefore, man has dominion over all the categories of creation. right? Right? So again, Ma'acha Shemoishlo Bebalchayim Soyne Balofim. If man has dominion over the animals, the sheep and the cattle, so Mikoshkin, so certainly Shemoishlo Besameach, that man has dominion over the plants, the diamond and all the lifeless objects, Shetachteim. Nimso, Shehakol Takas Ragla Yodom. So everything really is under the feet of man. So now, when a man takes the skin of an animal and makes shoes, he is showing that he has dominion over the animal. When man takes the leather of an animal, right, and makes shoes, to step on it, he is showing very clearly, he's demonstrating that he is the moisture over the animal world. Invariably that means if you have dominion over the animal world, you may well have dominion on the other levels behind it, because even the animal is above the other two. So when man wears shoes, he's showing that he's boss of the world. Because by wearing shoes, leather shoes, he has dominion over, right, over the balachayim, and the balachayim themselves have dominion over the tzameach, and the tzameach is above the diamond. So man, when he makes shoes, showing that, well, he has dominion over the animal world, but mainly he has dominion over everything else. Koil shato takas raglov, he points out to say. So Mamele says, Al Kain, therefore, Kishinoyel Manolov, when he puts on shoes, said the Mashal, Shlokol is saying the name of the Mashal, Mevach, she also recall Tzarki. It shows the entire world is under me. That's when you're wearing shoes, it says, also recall Tzarki. Everything is for me. I'm the boss, I rule the world. Because when I wear shoes and I demonstrate dominion over the animal world, then Mamele have dominion on anything that's below, all the categories below it. So shoes demonstrate she'osali kol tzorki, that the whole world is at my disposal. The whole world is under me. She'osali kol tzorki, he says. So he says, Ne'ilas ha'manolim moira eifoi, al koicha memsholo shel odom. She'kosh Baruch Hu himshiloi al kol ha'briya. Kosh Baruch Hu gave him dominion on the entire briya. When you wear shoes, it shows that Kosh Baruch Hu gave him dominion on the entire briya. La'asabem kisoinoi, he says, l'chol tzorcho. Now he wants to explain, so why is it when you come to a holy place, you remove shoes? The one was, we'll look at one nekuda over here. Abidvar Moel Mavai, Hagoyen of Yosef Tzi Salant. Besipa Ber Yosef. Estam Issa Nilus Asandal, Bemokim Shashchina Nicholas Boy. Now, Elozer Ben Hana Koyen was the highest, he had the highest position. Elozer Ben Hana Koyen, he had the highest position among all. When he went into the Heichol, he really had his hands full, literally, carrying 1,000 items. Let's take a look. What was he carrying? Single-handedly. Nobody helped him. Elozer ben Hana Koyen. As choshev as he was, he could have 50,000 mishosim, 50,000 servants he could have had. When Elozer ben Hana Koyen, look at this. Look what it says here. See Rishalmi. Rishalmi says in Shabbos Tehkud, Omra Elozer ben Hana Koyen, Shoya Omus B'Shemen. He was burdened. He was carrying oil, B'yaminoi. He was carrying oil to take into the Heichol with his right hand. Keteiros Asamim. He had the Keteiros, which was supposed to be burnt in the Heichol. He had it in his left hand. Umilchas Atomid, the meal offering of the Korban Tomid that was brought together. He had a Bezoi in his arm. Maybe what a balancing act. That he had on his arm. The Sheren Amishcha Bafundosa, he had it in his gartel. Lahad, like you wear, you know, your cell phone, something like that, like a keychain. So he had there, with the Dagon Gad, he had there the Sheren Amishcha. So the Yishalmi says, why was he carrying, why was he juggling all of that? So maybe you'll think because he had a lowly position, he had no mesharsim, he had nobody to help him. Him toy mesharsim yakotin, Yerushalmi asked that. Kloimer, maybe you'll think shloi hoise sarola biyodo, he didn't have a high position, but achein tona beyatsima, he had to carry himself. So he says, no, omar shumalei, save, the pasuk says, when the sea in the sea halevi, Elozer ben Aharon, he was the nosi hanasiim, he was the what? He was the prince over the princess. Of all the princess. So why? So why did he carry himself? Look at the next paragraph, one line. El she'ein gedula bepalten shemelech. As great as you are, when you stand in the palace of the king, there's no gedula. You don't show any greatness. In other words, to have misharsim, you're going to have misharsim when you're standing in the palace of the king. You're standing in front of a kodi bachu, you do it all yourself. You can be a knacker, you can be a general, you can be whatever you are, outside of the palace of the king. If you come to the palace of the king, there's only one gedula, that's the melech himself. When you come into the Beis Hamikdash, you come into the Heichol, that's an alfalan shleppen. You don't take advantage of taking a servant here and taking a servant over there. Ein gedul as great as you are, but there's no gedul of the Palten Shomalach. So Rabbi Yosef Salam Gevaldik. Wearing shoes shows godless odom. It shows you have dominion over the entire world. When you step into a place of Ashrois HaShchina, Shal Malecho Malag Lecho, Kit Admas Koidish, here you have the Shchina. All the godless that you have, you don't show any godless. Remove the shoes. If shoes, said the Mashal, is also legal turkey, that shows the man was given dominion, not in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is the Nekudah Advava, and that's the idea of wearing shoes. So now when we put on our shoes, we realize, Rabbeisai, how great we are. Okay.